Well, people are still filing out of the Augusta Civic Center here. I'm Travis Barrett, joined by Drew Bonifant. We are staff writers at the Kennebec Journal and the Morning Sentinel. It has been an interesting beginning to the Class A North Girls Tournament, which was here tonight. Ironically, I think in one of the what we expected to be one of the most unpredictable brackets anywhere in the state, the seeding's held true tonight.
Pretty much went straight chalk in a variety of ways. There were some blowouts here. There were some games that were kind of up and down, close, and then the lead started to widen. And then there was a down to the wire game at the very end. So we got a little bit of everything today.
Yeah, just to kind of quickly recap, we started this afternoon. Number three, Messalonskee, the defending state champion and defending regional champion. Obviously, they beat Madomic 63-49, and then Skowhegan really had an easy time with Nokomis. They beat them 66-38. In the evening session, in the 4-5 matchup, Lawrence beat Brewer 51-37. The Bulldogs avenged a 25-point loss on the road at Brewer during the regular season. And in the final game of the night, arguably the best game of the night, number one, Hamden avoided the upset, held Gardner to just 6 points in the fourth quarter, and beat the Tigers 37-29. Drew, your initial thoughts on that game, considering it's the one that just ended?
Well, it seemed like a throwback from, you know, the 1950s, just not a lot of offense there, a lot of deliberation. And it, Mike Gray, the Gardner coach, said that was kind of by design. They wanted to keep Hamden in the low scores to keep the game close that way, knowing that if it got into a track meet, Hamden would have the upper hand. And it was just tight throughout. I mean, Gardner led for most of the game, but it was always within a couple points. And then at the end, Hamden just started to get that momentum back at the start of the fourth, hit some big shots, and Gardner couldn't stop the momentum change.
Yeah, not in that game. I think the thing that jumped out at me there, not a lot of points. I mean, obviously they combined for 63 points. So Skowhegan and Messalonskee each alone scored more points today than those two teams combined. So we're not looking really at point totals, but I thought there were a lot of really, you know, gutsy performances. I thought for Hamden, Brooklyn Scott hit a three-pointer with about 6 minutes left that gave Hamden their first lead since, like, middle of the first quarter. Mm-hmm. I thought Logan Granholm for Gardner was just, I mean, she's all of about, I don't know, she's probably listed at 5 feet, and she might be 5 feet tall, I don't know. But against Bailey Donovan, the 6-foot-plus center for Hamden, she was physically outmatched, but really kind of made it really tough for Hamden. I thought there were a lot of interesting performances in that game, and I thought one of the best performances was Gardner coach Mike Gray, who I think coached as hard as he has in a long time.
he
was busy.
Yeah, he said afterwards he was tired, and you could understand that. He was they came up with a great game plan against Donovan. They collapsed the defense on her when she got the ball inside. They made it tough for her. There were several times she'd get the ball, look to make that move, and there'd be too much traffic there, would have to kick it out. So it didn't come easily. You know, this wasn't a case where Gardner just gets red hot, knocks down a bunch of shots, and then the cream starts to rise to the crop to the top kind of thing. Mm. This was clearly Gardner coming out with a great game plan and Hamden needing to adjust, and they did.
Yeah, and before we get too far, we probably already have, but we should note that up in Bangor at the Cross Insurance Center, B North girls, Winslow upsets MDI, mild upset. It's a 3-6, I believe. Winslow 55, MDI 34. Really, the Black Raiders were in charge of that one from early in the second quarter. And then Waterville saw its 10-game or 11-game unbeaten streak. That came to an end 52-48 against number two John Babs. Just an absolute really nice performance from Waterville. I thought we were kind of all looking forward to the Battle of the Bridge. Getting Winslow and Waterville in a regional semifinal would have been certainly worth talking about. But like all of our games today, those stories are on centralmaine.com, so certainly check them out. It's important that we note a big thanks to Portland Glass. The paywall is down. If you're looking for tournament coverage, it's free, so take advantage of it. I think if I'm looking at the four games today, I think one game that might quietly go unnoticed, probably because it was at 3 o'clock this afternoon and people were still at school or at work, but I think Messalonskee, the way they played against Madomic Valley, for a 12-6 Messalonskee team that is completely different from the team that we saw just kind of blitz through everybody last year, I think that was a statement game. I think the Eagles are going to – they plan on being around for a while this week. And even though, like we've talked about, it's an unpredictable bracket, sophomore Gabrielle Wiener came out and scored 27 points and didn't even look like it was that difficult. she was so locked in that at the buzzer to end the second quarter, she hit a shot from maybe 5 feet inside the midcourt line that she looked at angrily because she thought she airballed it. But it swished through the net so easily she didn't. And so her teammates actually literally had to tell her as they were running back, no, you made it. Don't worry about it. So
that's something in and of itself. Who gets upset over missing a buzzer beater?
Yeah, right. But she was really locked in. I just think Mesolonsky, they're going to be a tough out. I mean, I think any of the four teams that are left are going to be a tough out. But my gut feeling on the games I saw today is Mesolonsky is going to be a tough out.
They have a lot come back in key places, so they feel like an experienced team, even if they lost a lot of that from last year. Yes, they don't have Sophie Holmes. Yes, they don't have McKenna Brodeur anymore, but Allie Turner's been here and done that. Gabrielle Wiener played a lot as a freshman last year and has been there and done that. So they have some experience in key spots. They're not going to be intimidated by this stage. And I think maybe some people might be sleeping on the Eagles a little bit because they scuffled out of the gate.
Yep.
But they've turned into one of the more dangerous teams in this tournament. That's going to be a great game with Skowhegan coming up.
Yeah, they played two really, really good regular season games, and I thought Annie Cook Skowhegan's Annie Cook was really funny because we asked her about how do you feel about getting another crack at Mesolonsky, and she said with a big smile on her face, it's really hard to beat a good team three times.
Yep.
And I think the Indians are looking forward to that because they lost two games against Mesolonsky that they easily could have won if things had just kind of fallen their way at the end. So I think it'll be good. If there's two things that I didn't learn today, if I can channel my inner Dennis Green, you know, we are who we thought they were. I think the Lawrence girls are really streaky. When they're shooting the ball well, they're as good as any team in this tournament. But they go through stretches where the threes don't fall, like any high school team, or they sloppily kind of turn the ball over a little bit in the backcourt. They don't really seem to have a true point guard to me when I watch. So I think that kind of hurts them. But when they're firing all cylinders, I mean, they came out and scored 11 points in 2.5 minutes or something today.
Yeah.
So they can, when they're on, they can run away from you in a hurry and make you play catch up. And I think that's a nice little thing to have.
Yeah, I mean, if you were if you came in the first quarter, popped in, saw the score, and left, and then came back at the end of the game and saw the score, you would have thought it was a Lawrence runaway. They're up big to start. Yeah. They're up big at the end, and in between, Brewer got the game down to a couple possession games. So they definitely look like that team that, yeah, they can come out when they're firing. They're going to be a tough team to beat for any of these teams that are left. And then they have those lulls where that could really trip them up, especially against a Hamden, a Mesolonsky, a Skowhegan, whoever they go up against.
Yep. I've seen Skowhegan a few times this year. I thought today they played to their potential. I thought it was the most complete performance I've seen out of them this year. Now, granted, I haven't seen them probably since the middle of January. I didn't really see them during the stretch run. But I do feel like that's the kind of Skowhegan that I think I've been waiting for. You know, really well-rounded. Everybody can get involved. Everybody can hurt you. They've got some size. They've got some guards. They can handle the ball. They make good decisions. I think the trick with Skowhegan is Mike LeBlanc isn't ever sure which group of Skowhegan kids is going to show up at the end of the day.
Yeah, they always have the same – I mean, it's a 9-person team, so it's not like it's you know, it's the same – group of players that kind of that you know, the choice of who's going to have the biggest game comes from. It seems like Annie Cook is always there, always putting up a double double, something like that. But then as for who's kind of plays the number two role, or even in this case number one, Sydney Ames was their leading scorer.
Yeah.
You have Sydney Ames, you have Alyssa Everett, you have Mariah Dunbar. You know, that the number two and number three in that team changes every night. It seems like Annie Cook is always it just rebounds well, scores in the paint, can knock down shots, good free throw shooter. She's always there, and then, you know, the partner in crime can that job is open at the start of the game.
Yeah. I guess so. That kind of puts the wraps on today, really. Mm-hmm. I think if there's any surprise today, it's that the top four seeds all won. But I think it doesn't make it any less interesting as we go into the semifinals. I think any of the four teams that are left, you can make a case, can win the whole thing. So it'll be fun to watch here as we go. Tomorrow, we kind of turn our attention to some Class D boys and girls in here in the morning.
Boys and girls, yep. D South girls is the first one, and then they get got D South boys coming in, and then the A North boys come in for the later part of the day. So it's gonna be a full day. It's, you know, it's Saturday. It's weekend. So
that's true.
It's, you know, sun up to sun down pretty much.
Woohoo! Let me before we log off here. If there's one or two things that we need to know about the Class A North boys tournament, I'll take the first one because it's an easy one. Hamden is a clear favorite. Mm-hmm. Unlike the girls' tournament where everybody kind of feels like anybody could, I think this tournament for the boys is Hamden's to lose.
Yep. They haven't lost an A North game yet. They lost to Bangor. That was their only loss. They're clearly the team to beat there.
What else? Okay, so then if I'm looking at a subplot tomorrow, Drew, what am I looking for in A North?
I think Coney is a very intriguing team. It's that 4-5 matchup. Cameron Hills has scored a lot of big wins this season. They're going to be tough, but Coney's red hot coming, and they've won 8 straight.
Mm.
They're going to be playing. They're going to have a big crowd here. It's probably going to be. I would think it's the biggest crowd of the day coming in for that game. So that's going to be. I just feel like that's going to be hard fought. Coney plays tough defense. They can score. Cameron has some size. They can shoot. That's a good matchup. But I think whoever comes out of that game, that's the team playing Hamden. So, they might be the big favorite, but Hamden's going to have a test as soon as if they get a first game.
Yeah, I'm going to look at a game tomorrow. I'm going to look at Nokomis I'm going to cheat here. They're playing Erskine tomorrow, right? Yeah, I have that game, so I should have known. It's been a long week already. I think Nokomis is a team that sounds like in the second half of the year really kind of got their act together. That sounds harsher than I intended, but I think they played really well down the stretch, and so I'm looking forward to seeing how Nokomis looks. It's a 2-7 matchup. They should win and kind of get them on the road towards, seeing if they can make an appearance in the finals, and maybe they can give Hamden, or if someone upsets the Broncos, maybe they can give them a shot. So I'm kind of looking forward to watching Nokomis play tomorrow.
Yep, and they have a star player there with Zach Hartsgrove, one of the best players in the entire tournament. Josh Meestead is very good. Is a very good player as well. It was pretty much a 1-1A kind of deal there. And if we want to round out that bracket with subplots, Scott Hegan plays Madomic in a rematch of last year. That was the upset of the tournament.
That's true.
So this year, Madomic is the lower seed. Scott Hegan's the higher seed. It's the 3. You get a feeling that Madomic would love to see Scott Hegan's season come to an end tomorrow.
So you think they're maybe cooking up a little revenge stew?
There might be some on the menu.
I like that. That's a good way to end it because I'm hungry. So that's a good way to end this. Listen, thank you all for listening. Again, centralmaine.com. Check it out. Again, Portland Glass has lended a hand here. And so you don't have to pay. All right? It's free. The content is free. Journalists will work for food. So check it out. Make sure you check everything. And, of course, we're on Twitter. Check out our Facebook page as well, Central Maine Sports. We have live reaction from every game here at the Civic Center. So looking forward to it. Drew, thanks for doing this.
Absolutely.
And we'll do it again tomorrow.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks, everybody. I'm Travis. That's Drew. And we'll see you tomorrow on Saturday, day 2 of the tournament here at the Augusta Civic Center.